Welcome to Know Your Foe on Colts.com, an in-depth look at the upcoming matchup. Here are your hosts, Casey Vallier and former Colts wide receiver, Bill Brooks.
It is time for another episode of Know Your Foe right here on Colts.com. I'm your host, Casey Vallier, and I'm joined, as always, by Colts Ring of Honor wide receiver, Bill Brooks. The Las Vegas Raiders head to town to Indianapolis this Sunday. And to get us up to date on the Raiders is Tashaun Reed, who covers the Raiders for The Athletic. Tashaun, thank you so much for joining us. Really appreciate the time.
Thanks for having me on, man. It's been a hectic week for us so far.
Yeah, I think everybody could say that over the last month or so. It's been a lot of moving parts for sure. I wanted to start with the quarterback play of Derek Carr. I know that nationally, he's a guy that never really gets much attention. But when you look at this guy, you know, throughout his career, very reliable. This year, he's thrown a career high in passing yards, but his interception numbers are up with his touchdowns down. How would you assess his season from this point, watching him on a day-to-day basis?
Yeah, I think he's had a interesting season just because there's been so many different arcs to it due to things that, you know, partly are out of his control. Obviously, you know, 5 games into the season, you know, he loses a primary play caller in John Gruden after his resignation and switched to Greg Olsen, who he had worked with before, but he does differ, obviously, from Gruden and how he runs the offense. And things kind of started clicking there in the first couple games under Olsen. And then, obviously, you know, following the bye week, they had the tragic incident with the car crash involving Henry Ruggs. And the offense was drastically changed after that. And then Darren Waller got hurt, which was also changed the offense. And so his overall statistics, you know, probably don't look as great as they otherwise would have if all those things didn't happen, obviously. I do think he's played at a pretty good level this season. Turnovers have been an issue. They've been an issue for the last couple of years for him, not just the interceptions, but he's also has a problem with fumbling the ball pretty often. But, you know, that kind of comes with it. You know, if you want that increased aggression, want him pushing the ball downfield and taking as many deep shots as he is, that means he's going to be throwing some more risky passes. He's going to be holding the ball longer in the pocket. And, you know, it's kind of the you know, there's only so many quarterbacks that can kind of mirror that, unless you're Patrick Mahomes or Aaron Rodgers, you know, kind of mirroring that downfield aggression with not turning the ball over very often. So I think he's had a pretty solid season considering all the circumstances.
One of the things we always know too, you know, along with the weapons on the outside, a running game also helps. And we've seen Josh Jacobs' numbers, you know, the first 2 years he eclipsed 1,000 yards, but it looks like he's going to be out of reach for that this year. He's averaging just 3.9 yards per carry. What do you think the reason for the struggles in the run game have been with Josh Jacobs involved?
Well, he starts with not having anywhere to run. That's been the primary issue. The offensive line has been pretty rough in terms of run blocking for most of the season. They lost two starting guards basically right away. Richie Incognito got hurt in training camp, and Denzel Good got hurt on the opening series of the season. And so they had to have some guys start that they didn't expect to. The first-round pick, Alex Leatherwood, he had to move over from right tackle to right guard. And so there's been a lot of moving pieces, and, you know, frankly, just not that, you know, the play just hasn't been very good when it comes to the offensive line, whether it's run blocking or pass blocking. They kind of have flashes here and there, with the most recent example obviously coming last game. Josh Jacobs rushed for 129 yards, which matched a career high, and you know, they ran the ball 27 times, which was, you know, the most he's run the ball this entire season. And so I think part of that, you know, especially with, you know, them not having Ruggs anymore and Waller being injured and the passing game being more limited and not as explosive as it once was, they really need that ground game to get going. If the offense is really going to have much success at all, they've really been struggling since the bye week, pretty much week in and week out to put up points. And so while Jacobs, you know, he hasn't had a good season, and you know, partly, you know, you have to put some of that on him, but also mostly the blocking. You know, if they can get this going, you know, down this home stretch in the last couple of games, that could go a long way for their offense.
Hey, Tashaun, you mentioned a little bit about the depth of the wide receiver position, and that's where I want to go with my next question. Now, their most consistent wide receiver is Hunter Renfrow, leading the team with 92 receptions. How much has he meant to Derek Carr and to this Raiders offense?
He's been huge, you know, especially with Waller out. Obviously, you know, Derek Carr, that's his, you know, his best receiving option is Darren Waller, and he has a lot of trust with him, and you know, he kind of defaults to him when things aren't going well. But right behind him was always Hunter Renfrow. And without Waller out there, we've seen, you know, Renfrow basically be that safety valve for Carr, you know, kind of, you know, what things are going good or going bad. Renfrow's just a really consistent player. He's not the most physically imposing guy in the world. He's pretty average size athleticism, but he's a great route runner. He has really sure hands, and He has really good chemistry with Carr, and that's a recipe for success. And you know, he's really been carrying that receiver group. You know, in the wake of what's happened there this season, you know, they signed DeSean Jackson. You know, he had a big game against the Cowboys, but he's been kind of hit or miss since then. Say Jones is more of a rotational receiver. You don't really want him starting. Brian Edwards, a young second-year player that they have, he hasn't really put it all together yet. And so without having Waller at the tight end position, you know, really not a, a burden has been put on Renfro, and he's handled it very well. I mean, he's, you know, there's a chance he might, you know, set the Raiders record for catches for a receiver this season. And, you know, for a third-year guy, and, you know, it was a mid-round pick. I'm not sure many people saw that coming this quickly.
Now, you mentioned Darren Waller earlier, and he's missed the last four games, but there's a chance he could play this week against the Colts. What would it mean to the Raiders offense if he had a chance to play this week?
That'd be huge. I mean, you know, we've seen teams start to put more focus on Renfro, whether it's doubling him or bracketing him, just because they kind of view him as their lone consistent receiving threat. And when Waller is out there, you can't really do that anymore because you have to do that to Waller, you know, right? So that kind of it makes it easier for everybody else in the receiving core. Obviously, Waller is going to get his as well if he's healthy and able to be out there. It really changes the dynamic of their offense. You know, they had, you know, Waller some games during these post-bye week struggles. Waller was out there and he still struggled. And so, and I'm not saying it's going to suddenly fix everything for their passing offense, but obviously if you can have, you know, arguably one of the three or four best tight ends in the league out there, it would give the offense a huge lift. And, you know, if you know, what the running game was able to do last week against the Broncos, if that was a fluke and they have to lean more on the passing game, obviously having Waller out there would help with time.
We're talking with Tashawn Reed, who covers the Raiders for The Athletic. I want to hop to the defensive side of the ball, a guy that Colts fans know from earlier in his career. Yannick Ngakoue joined the Raiders this offseason, kind of go alongside with Max Crosby. Pretty dynamic pass rushers. How would you assess their play, you know, to this point here in the season?
Yeah, the Raiders have had a long line of free agency signings that have been pretty bad. You know, guys that, you know, were good players elsewhere, they give them a lot of money, and all of a sudden they come here and they can't play anymore. But Yannick Ngakoue has kind of bucked that trend so far. You know, he's a guy that's, you know, he's not the best run stopper in the world. You kind of know what he is, but when it comes to rushing the passer, he's relentless. And you know, in combination with Crosby, who's taken a step this season in terms of becoming more of a complete defensive end, not just having the sacks, but the down in and down out pressure that he's getting on the quarterback, in addition to being pretty solid against the run as well this year. And that edge duo, you know, has been pretty fearsome this year. And also they've had much better play on the interior defensive line. You know, whether it's Quentin Jefferson or Jonathan Hankins or Darius Vaylon or Solomon Thomas, even they've gotten something out of. It's a pretty deep defensive line group. And with Gus Bradley playing defense the way he doesn't really blitz often. So there's a lot of pressure on that defensive line to shed blocks, whether it's against the pass or the run, and kind of create havoc. And they've been doing it all year long. And the defense, you know, they aren't up there in terms of points allowed. Like, you know, if you just look at the stats, it kind of looks like they have a bad defense. But it's been a pretty feisty defense, and it all starts up front with their front four.
Tashawn, I want to move to the back end of the defense. Now, last week, the Raiders placed their second-leading tackler, safety Jonathan Abrams, on IR. How is that going to affect the defensive coordinator, the defense of defensive coordinators, Gus Bradley's defense?
It doesn't really change the scheme much. You know, they're still going to have that box safety role just be filled by somebody else. It's Donald Levitt. He started the last game for him, and Tyree Gillespie, a rookie player, is kind of filling in. And Roger Tamer is a guy. He's currently still on the COVID list, but if he's able to come back, he'll be in the mix there as well. So the structure of the defense doesn't really change. It's just, you don't have, you know, kind of that you know, relentless player that Jonathan Abrams is out there. And obviously there's a drop off, but their secondary is really bigger than him when it comes to you know, some of the issues that they've had back there in terms of availability. Trayvon Mullen, he went on IR for the second time with a foot injury, so he's done for the season as one of their starting cornerbacks. One of the players that they had go on the reserve COVID-19 list this week was Casey Hayward, one of their other starting corners, who's been a boon for them this season and played pretty well. Also, Nate Hobbs, he was a guy that was recently on the COVID list last game. He was kind of limited to a special teams role. We'll see if he's able to play more this week. But they've had a few guys, you know, kind of get banged up and be in and out in that secondary. And it hasn't really burned them yet as of late, you know, kind of this recent stretch. I mean, that may be a product of them going against Nick Mullins and Drew Lock as the opposing quarterbacks. And this week, you know, maybe Sam Ellinger. So maybe it won't really hurt them as much, but their secondary overall is kind of hurt right now and lacking a little bit.
Well, right now, the way that it sits, the Raiders are sitting on the outside looking in on a playoff spot. But, you know, the situation is with this, especially with this ever-moving COVID, you know, there's two games remaining. And if the Raiders kind of handle their business, looks like they might be a playoff team. What do you think this team needs to do to get two victories?
Well, I think the big thing this week, it's kind of a continued trend of their last two games. Going against the Browns, it was all about stopping the run, you know, and Nick Chubb, the Broncos, same thing. And both of those games, they were really successful, which is something that the team had struggled at doing, was stopping the run. And obviously the Colts have, you know, a guy in Jonathan Taylor who's played like the best running back in the league this season, especially if Wentz is not out there. I can only imagine that the Colts are going to, you know, run the ball, you know, who knows how many times and try to pound it down their throat. So I think, you know, for them, they can't really look ahead. You know, obviously that Chargers matchup is going to be big if they do win, but it kind of, right, you have to really be locked in on this weekend, particularly with the Colts situation. It's all going to come down to stopping Jonathan Taylor is what I feel like. Is if they're going to keep their season alive and have a chance to make it in the postseason, they have to. I don't know if you can stop him. They did, you know, hold the Broncos to 18 rushing yards last year, but I would say Jonathan Taylor is a different beast. So if you can just contain him and keep him from having one of those 150 yard multiple touchdown games, then they may have a good shot in this one.
Well, final thing with you, I know it's hard to kind of look forward, but let's say this team makes the playoffs. Do you think this Raiders team can make some noise?
I think they would be a short-lived playoff entry, just with their offense has been really limited. And I don't think, even if they get Waller back, you know, their offensive line and the instability there, some of the turnover and penalty issues that they've had, you know, the defense, you know, secondary being a little bit banged up now, moving forward. It would be kind of hard to see. It all depends on matchups. You know, if they do sneak in at seven, whoever the second seed is, and kind of how that matchup works out. If it's a team like the Titans, maybe, you know, may not have Derrick Henry, maybe you can sneak them. But I think they'll be one and done if they do end up making it in. But even then, for this team, that a team that hasn't made the postseason since 2016, that you know, lost their head coach this season, had some tragic off the field incidents this season, had some injuries to some pretty significant players, even just making the playoffs, I think they would view that as a win. Obviously you want to win in advance, and, you know, so they'll be disappointed they end up losing in the first round, but just making the postseason will be a huge step forward for this franchise.
A lot riding for the Raiders on this game on Sunday as they head to Indianapolis to take on the Colts for the regular season finale at home for Indianapolis. That was Tashawn Reed, who covers the Raiders for The Athletic. Tashawn, thanks again. Really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
The Las Vegas Raiders head to Indianapolis for the home regular season finale for the Indianapolis Colts at Lucas Oil Stadium. That game is on Sunday. Next week, the Colts will be on the road for the season finale in Jacksonville. And to get us caught up on the Jags is going to be Mike DiRocco, who covers the Jags for ESPN prior to that regular season finale in Jacksonville. But before that, like I said, Sunday, it's the Colts and Raiders at Lucas Oil Stadium. For Bill Brooks, I'm Casey Vallier. Enjoy the game and go Colts.